This is for the record. We're going to New York this hour because that's where all the presidential candidates have been ahead of Tuesday's primary. They've been eating pizza in the Bronx, shaking hands on Long Island, and clocking time upstate, where a lot of small towns have been gutted by the loss of manufacturing jobs.
Upstate New York has been decimated, okay? Decimated.
If I'm fortunate enough to be your president, I will fight for more help here in upstate New York.
We're going to see manufacturing jobs coming back to upstate New York. We're going to bring jobs back from China, back from Mexico.
This morning, we're going to focus in on one of those towns, where big plant closures have meant residents either reinvent themselves or move. For the record today, making it work in Messina.
Messina is located in the northernmost part of New York State. We live right on the Great St. Lawrence River. We used to have massive manufacturing industry there, based with General Motors, Reynolds, Alcoa.
This is Robert Cunningham. What kind of place was it to grow up in?
It was great. My father worked for General Motors, started there in 59. We had a great childhood, good union benefits, and security.
Okay, I'm Max Polifian. I live in Messina, New York. Retired from General Motors, worked there for 31 years. Well, after I went to college, I told my father I had 6 months to get a job, and they were hiring, so I just kept going out there every day, hounding them to give me a shot, and they hired me after a couple months.
A couple years out of college, Robert Cunningham found his way to GM, too.
If you didn't work there, you wanted to work there, they were looking for pipe fitters, and I put my application in, and I got an interview, and I got hired. And it was like winning the lottery. It was just like, I can't believe it. For pay and security for your family, by far the best job.
It was a production job where I made pistons for the 350 cubic inch V8 motor. Well, I worked midnights, so I went in for 11 and got done at 7 o'clock in the morning. And during the summers, I would actually ride my bicycle to work, which was about a 10-mile ride each way. And I'd get to work a half hour, 45 minutes early just to socialize in the cafeteria with coffee, over coffee with, you know, the guys I was working with.
I met my wife at the plant. She was a lost foam technician.
So you had like a courtship on the foundry floor?
Like... I guess you could say that. We look back on that with some fond memories and working midnights together. You know, as you get off from work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and most people are going, you know, out for a dinner date, we're going for breakfast, you know?
Not only did he find the love of his life, but Robert was also making really good money. His first year's salary was $101,000. With overtime, it was $157,000. Max was cashing in, too.
We worked hard, but we worked a lot of overtime, too. We made a lot of money, and it was really, you know, busy. You know, especially after I got my first year in and that, I go, this is a good life. And, you know, I bought really nice cars and toys and houses and stuff, and it worked out good.
There was love, there was money, and also a sense of belonging. Co-workers were like a second family. Everyone in town turned out for the GM company picnics.
It made you feel really good. I mean, we had a couple guys that ran the Olympic torch 1 year. You know, they're all sponsored. You know, they had GM stuff on where they did it, and we had cars following them, and it gave you a little pride in what you were doing.
Then in 2007, the news came out of the blue. GM was shutting down. The announcement came on a Monday. Here's Robert.
Most people were in shock. They couldn't believe it. There was a lot of anger, you know, and then it just became this, I can't believe it's coming to an end, and you're in denial. And being in the position that I was in, you know, working closely with our local union leadership, in the international union, you know, we tried, and then it was over. No one quite understood the impact that it was going to have down the road. When you take, we'll call it $60 million out of the local economy every year, That's what General Motors put into the local economy between payroll and taxes and contractors that they hired, what that ripple effect would actually do. And it was devastating.
Mm-hmm. How long were you out of work?
4 years.
Robert's wife immediately went back to school to become a nurse. And they'd been saving money all along and investing it well, so they had a buffer. But they had 5 kids to support. Do you remember having to have conversations with your kids to reassure them?
Yeah, they were a little freaked out, you know. We laugh about it now. We'd go shopping, grocery shopping, and they're like, do you remember the $300 days? Or you just go in and whatever they wanted, they just threw it in the cart and they'd just be like, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. You know, and they laugh about it. And so it made me feel bad. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I feel so bad that we didn't keep doing that.
Meanwhile, the town of Messina itself started to change. A lot of families moved away, took transfers with GM, or just moved to find new jobs. Schools closed down. Here's Max.
The mall here went from being busy all the time to having a Sears store close. There was a department store at the other end of the mall that closed. There was like Gap, Structure, Limited. All those type stores all closed in the mall after that.
We reached out to GM, and they told us that the majority of jobs lost in Messina were moved to a plant in Saginaw, Michigan. And some of the work went to a facility in Mexico. And this is where politics comes in. Because presidential candidates from both parties, mainly Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, are pointing to these shuttered plants and blaming globalization and free trade agreements. That in turn is getting families in Messina talking.
I just had this conversation with my dad because we were having the same conversation over NAFTA.
Here's Robert again.
And I said, well, Dad, I said, we're half to blame for that too. I said, because companies need profits. We want big wages because we want to make the most money we can. But when it comes to products and services, we don't want to have to pay a lot of money. But he goes, well, you know, you're kind of right. And I was like, well, Dad, I said, think about it. We go down and we want to buy a truck. And what do? We work for the auto. Well, oh, I can't believe that truck's $45,000. Oh, that truck should be $35,000. Well, it's $45,000, you know. We want to get it as cheap as we can.
We should say that Robert did eventually find another job, and he's been working at Messina Electric. But neither Robert nor Max thinks this is a place where their kids or their grandkids will be able to build careers. Because it was hard enough when GM closed down. But now the last big employer in town, an aluminum manufacturing company called Alcoa, that company is considering leaving too. The news broke last November.
A major hit to the North Country economy has elected officials rallying together. This week, Alcoa announced it was closing its West plant in a move that impacts nearly 500 jobs.
Alcoa had already downsized its operations in Messina, so this didn't come as a major shock. But on top of the GM closure, it was just too much for this one town to absorb. So a couple weeks later, the state government stepped in and gave Alcoa a bailout of sorts. Paid the company roughly $70 million to stay open. Here's Governor Andrew Cuomo.
The Alcoa jobs are saved, and they're going to stay right here in Messina. And this plant is going to keep operating the way it has been operating for over 100 years.
That's the dream scenario. But the deal actually says Alcoa only has to stay in Messina for 3.5 more years. Which means Messina, in that time, has to come up with a plan to replace all those jobs. There are some ideas floating around about how to diversify the economy. Building an interstate to bring in business from Canada. Building up a tourist industry around the St. Lawrence River. Robert Cunningham can see that as a possibility, kind of.
I think there is, you know, tourism, obviously, bringing fishing up to the area. But do I see it generating $60 million a year? I hope it does. I don't think it's gonna. What are they gonna come to Messina to see? The Seaway? The dam? I mean.
Other job opportunities have opened up since GM closed. There's a new casino outside of town that created some jobs, and some people went to work for the Border Patrol near the Canadian line, which is just a few miles from Messina. Other residents have started new businesses that are growing. Even so, Robert Cunningham can't help but look backwards.
Messina's not going to recover to its former glory, in my opinion. I mean, we're gonna survive and we're gonna get through it as North Country people always do. But to try to get us back to that time when we were the shining star throughout northern New York, I mean, with the huge employers and all the income.
That, he says, is just not gonna happen. For the record today, we heard from Robert Cunningham and Max Polifian, former GM workers from Messina, New York.